Yes, people, you are tuned in to what is Cricket Talks Extra Episode 6, and it's kind of convenient because I've managed to keep up with my weekly episodes and I've done quite a few of the extra ones in a short period of time. So I'm now working with Episode 6 just dropped yesterday of my weekly show, and Cricket Talks Extra Episode 6 is coming out, well, today anyway. So let's get straight onto it. This episode, if you haven't already listened to the episode I dropped yesterday, actually late at night, if you haven't listened to it already, please do. It's a pretty good breakdown of what was the first test between Pakistan and New Zealand. I spoke through everything around it, so the context going into the first test, players we lost, obviously we lost Babar Azam, selection changes, for example, Sahil Khan being available, not putting the squad, Nasim being played, Yasir Shah being played, Zafar Gohar in the side, but not being played in the first test, Imran Butt being available. And I kind of went through that, then went through every day by day, and spoke through what my take was on the whole situation, where Pakistan kind of fell short, standout performers, because as much, despite the fact that we lost by 100 runs, there were definitely some standout performers. And just a few examples are obviously Rizwan, Fawad Alam in the second innings, and Fahim Ashraf pretty much across the whole game, if we're being honest. He really, really stood up and proved that he could be a good test player. And that's really, really, I really do give a lot of credit towards Yunus Khan. I think despite Misbah-ul-Haq being put into the side, and as much as I feel about not necessarily him being a bad coach, he has made some decent moves. But it's really, I talked about in the episode before that, the fact that it generally wasn't a move that was needed. Mickey Arthur was doing very well. They said that Pakistan hadn't achieved much in the time that they were there. But the reality is, to be honest, how much could you expect? Pakistan literally had to do a whole new, they had to revamp the whole team. They had to rip the team apart, build a new one. And that included bringing quite a few young players in from Mickey Arthur's side. It included scrapping the fitness system and putting a new one in where there was a certain level of fitness. Because of that, Pakistan lost some key players who are really standout performers, but because of fitness, they had to be let go. And Pakistan had to rebuild on that. So I spoke a little bit about that. And going into this episode, going into the episode 6, I talked about everything around the test where we fell short, standout performers, and what we had to do going into the next test, which has obviously started last night. So this episode, as you can imagine, this is going to be a sort of day one summary, an extended summary. I do shorter ones on my TikTok, Mo Blogs, if you haven't listened to it already or watched it. And I'm going to be talking through the whole day, how it all went, how I felt about it. I did manage to watch the first two sessions and I missed a little bit of the last one just because it was they're 12 hours ahead of us. So let's go straight into it. Going into the test, selection changes, first of all. Haris Sahil was kept in the squad. Babar Azam wasn't able to come back fit enough. And despite having hopes that he'd be there because it was happened about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago now, I kind of expected it. It was in the back of my mind whether he could have played. I really hoped he could have. But it was the right move, to be honest, by PCB. If he was willing to push, I wouldn't have played him anyway, just because Babar Azam is such a key player that, you know, we're already feeling the effects of him not being here. And the last thing we want is playing him when he's 70%, and we're going to have to suffer on in later tours. I think we're playing South Africa pretty soon. So I'd rather him miss out the two tests now and just having us to recover from that and learn as a team and grow and really just get some players who put runs on the board and Babar Azam isn't there. So first of all, Haris Sahil was kept in the squad. Like I said, in going into the first test, I did say Imran Butt should have been played. As much as I love Haris Sahil, he does come across as having a bit of a technical issue and he gets a little too excited. He pushes up the ball too much, and he did it in the first test. He got quite a few leading edges to about fourth slip or gully, where he was pushing at the swinging ball. He looked really uncomfortable about a swinging ball. It's almost as if he's never played against it. And he prefers drier wickets when he really is batting in the middle order, and not when there's a two-wicket collapse 10 overs in. So you could really see how uncomfortable he was. I think he got away with it in the first two balls and then kind of lost his wicket off about a run off 8 balls. So that was the first change. I did say Imran should have been played in the first test. In the second test, I really did mean it this time. I said Imran should have been in. I really hoped he would have been in if Pakistan didn't have Babar Azam ready for the second test. So that was the first thing. So there wasn't a change from that perspective. The second, well, the actual change that was made was just the one change, a change that not a lot of people would have expected, but looking back at it, it now makes sense. Yasir Shah was taken out for the debutant, test debutant, Zafar Gourcuff. He's played one ODI quite a few years back. And since then, he's had a pretty incredible story. He had a broken, or he had a really bad shoulder injury, which he was made to pay for himself. Kept him out of the domestic circuit for a little while, came back, proven himself over and over again, the left arm spinner and all rounder. And he's come back in this test side and he's given his test cap today. So that was the second, that was a really the only change that was made. Now, looking back at it, it does make sense. Yasir Shah, despite getting quite a few overs, it was in this particular test match, it wasn't going to be needed as much. This was very much a seamer's wicket with the band of green and swing on there. There wasn't going to be a huge amount. From ex in terms of external conditions that would have affected or impacted Yasir Shah positively anyway. There was no way the pitch was helping him out or the conditions, and it was pretty dewy anyway. Rain did come later on, so in fairness, that was a very much the right call. Zafar Gourcuff, in terms of risk, I do understand it's a bigger risk since we lost the first game anyway, but he does bat a bit. He does bat a lot better than Yasir Shah, so having him means that when we do need a spinner, he's available. And when we don't, he's there to bat. So we have a sort of extended batting lineup, which, in fairness, Pakistan have sort of, covered that problem in a sense, despite not having Babar Azam and keeping Harris Sahil on. We've sorted it at the tail end of the team where instead of having four batsmen who really can't bat, I know Yasir Shah has scored 100 in Australia, but we don't really bank on him. We would rather look at him as a night watchman, someone to just bat it out, and he doesn't really score as much as you would. But Yasir Shah to be taken out for someone who can bat just means we have a little bit more security in terms of the batting order when it comes to us putting runs on the board, because that's a big problem from our side. I wouldn't say necessarily bowling. In terms of bowling, it's more discipline. But in terms of batting, it was really just runs on the board. We need runs on the board. Babar Azam wasn't there in the first test, and we really felt the impact of that. So that was really the only change made. So let's go from the very first, from the first wicket all the way down. Abid Ali and Shaun Masood, they got going pretty quickly. They started pretty well, if you're being honest. They were rotating the wicket, they were punishing the bad ball, they were exaggerating, a bit like Kane Williamson was in the first test. They're really looking to exaggerate the leave and place emphasis on that just because the ball was swinging so much and it was doing so much in the air. And with the conditions, it was really only just helping Tim Southee and Trent bowl. I'm sure they would have been properly excited with the fact that they got to bowl first and in place that helped bowlers because they lost the toss in the last test and they were really just, playing with the leftovers of the pitch. So Shaun Masood lost his wicket out pretty early. It was plum on. I don't really see why he reviewed it. If we're being honest, the only reason he would have reviewed it was if he thought he had a bat forward. But looking at back at the ball, it was really clear that it was out. It was dead on straight and his bat wasn't really anywhere near. It kind of got caught behind his leg. So Shaun Masood got his wicket out early. He completely fell and lost all balance when he got out LBW to Shaun Masood, to Tim Southee. So he went for a duck. Azhar Ali, not Azhar Ali, Abid Ali was looking actually really good as well. He was defending anything that he didn't have, that he didn't couldn't score off. He was punishing that anything that was slightly offline and had a bit too much swing on it, a bit like from Trent Bolt when he was clipping them off his leg side through mid wicket. And he was leaving anything that didn't need to be hit. In terms of risk management, he was doing really well in that sense. He wasn't taking any risks whatsoever. He kind of learnt, and that was a good inning. But it was a shame to see him get out for 25 the way he did. If I don't remember, Kyle Jameson came slightly wider on the wicket, bowled one going in, and he caught the outside edge. So Abid Ali lost his wicket. Azhar Ali, when he came on, like I said in the first test, it was a. I call it, I'm starting to call these innings slightly more importance to Azhar Ali. If you look at people like Alistair Cook, I get he's a leading run scorer and probably England's one of England's best batsmen ever produced. But there have been times, several times during Alistair Cook's career when he's had a string of low scores and his selection does actually start to get, put on the line, and he comes, he's with his back on the ball, he'll end up scoring a 250 in the next test match. And Azhar Ali is a bit of a similar situation in that sense. going into that innings, I was saying that, you know, this has been an incredibly important innings for him. If he doesn't start to score away, Pakistan selectors are going to look at, you know, where do we go with Azhar Ali, because he's turned into a liability in away games. So from that sense, it was a big game for Azhar Ali. And coming in, he was playing, he wasn't exactly taking, it looked as if he wasn't exactly taking in the context into situation. You know, we lost 2 wickets pretty early on. New Zealand were really striking with Carl Jameson and Tim Southee, and he was pushing at balls that didn't need to be. He was leaving very well, he was defending very well, he was getting on top of the bounce at players like Carl Jameson, were producing heaps of bounce throughout the whole day. BJ Watling had a good time behind and was constantly active, having to try and catch those bouncing balls. But Azhar Ali, despite all those flashing shots that were going through gully for four and spraying through the slips cordon, he did actually play a pretty good innings. Anything that was slightly offline, he'd be more than happy to punish. He was leaving them pretty well. And I'd say it's probably one of every 30, 35 balls where he was really going at those shots. And as much as it was scary seeing him go for that, because I'm like, you know, he's going to lose his wicket and he's going to do more harm than good really going for these shots. Yes, he was getting four of them, but they were in no way intentional. But Azhar Ali played a really, really good innings, if being honest. 93 of 172 until Matt Henry finally got his breakthrough that he was working so hard for all day. He had a couple of drop catches and was bowling a really good line length a lot of the day, and he just got really unlucky and managed to get Azhar Ali towards the back end of the day. And yeah, Azhar Ali, a really good innings, if we're being honest. 93, it was what it was needed for his career, for his career right now at the moment, and he put Pakistan in a good place, and he carried the batting order quite a way through to the end, until we lost his wicket and Mohammad Rizwan's. Haris Sahil came in at four. He was looking uncomfortable from the first ball. Like I said before, he really looks like as if he has a problem with the swing. Maybe it's the fact that he doesn't get to play in conditions that are swing friendly as much. I'm not exactly sure on that, but when he's batted at the top, he's batted quite early on in the innings quite a few times now because of Pakistan's top order collapses, because Abid Ali, Azhar Ali and Shaun Mossud haven't really put up big scores where Haris Sahil can come in the 50th, 60th over and play the older ball. So he was having to bat a lot higher, play the ball while it was still doing a bit in the air, and he just looked uncomfortable. He was pushing at deliveries that could have been very, very easily left. The balls that were going across him, he didn't need to play. There was clearly no signs of going, when the ball was going across, there was no signs of it just nipping back in because of where the ball was pitched on the line. But he was still going for it anyway. So from that sense, I was really confused. It was almost as if there were still technical issues with Haris Sahil, and it was mentioned with Shaun Mossud about his technical issues against the swinging ball, which I can't remember exactly what it was, but I'll have to check up on that. But Haris Sahil also looks like he has a problem with the swinging ball. If you're batting at four or five, there's not always going to be periods where you're going to have to bat at the 60th over when we're 250 for three, and you can slightly put on the pedal and just go for it with an older ball. He is going to be in a lot of situations like these, and it was surprising to see the way he's handled this in this innings and both the first test when he was pretty much got out like this the last two innings. So he lost his wicket, one of four, got out very early. Fawad Alam, oh, I honestly feel sorry for him. He was looking for his for the eight balls that he played. He was looking pretty good rotating the wicket with Azhar Ali, and he got an absolute death ball from it. It was probably 2021's just started, so we can very easily say that this was ball of the year in terms of Test cricket. I'm hearing a lot of people on Twitter saying that it's ball of the decade, and for now, yes, it's ball of the decade. The ball that he got from Carl Jameson, obviously, you know, with Carl Jameson, he's got three fifers in his Test career so far, and he's coming in with a huge amount of bounce. For someone at 6 foot 7, 6 foot 8, whatever his height is, his ability to bowl is really, really good. He doesn't actually bowl a lot of short balls. He bowls, in terms of a pitch match, he bowls a pitch map, he bowls right at the edge of the short ball on a good length. So it's really uncomfortable for the batsman to come forward and play and go on the back foot. And it's constantly targeting you, and if you don't do something about it, he will catch you out, especially with his plans. Like he bowls good length or short constantly for 4, 5, 6 balls, going to the next over, the same thing, constantly targeting the bats to make them play. And then he'll bowl the fuller one and catch you out because he has the ability to do so. And his swing ability is pretty good as well. He's been pretty mature with the swing. He did that to Abid Ali in the first innings with the first test, if I'm not sure, if I remember correctly. He was bowling good length, good length, good length. Abid Ali was getting comfortable and he went for a fuller one and caught him out with the in-swinger. So, to be honest, to sum it up, that was an amazing ball. There was really nothing Fawad Alam can do about it. I mentioned on Twitter a lot that it was almost as if he got a Mike Tyson hook and it was in the form of a cricket ball. The way it targeted, there was literally nothing. With the pace that it was at, it was about 140 something clicks and it was targeting about his neck area, and the pace it was coming out with, the bounce and the momentum, he'd have to be an incredibly, incredibly good player. Not even the likes of Steve Smith, Kane Williamson could probably play those kind of shots against that delivery in particular. And there was nothing he could do about it. And it looked as if he just got knocked out. And fair enough. So Fawad Alam's wicket, despite what it says on the scorecard, it's never really about the scorecard. It's about the context around that and the game. He really, really did get unlucky. 2 for 8 and I'm sure he'll be looking to sort that out over looking in practice going into the second innings. But at the same time, I'm not sure he'll ever get a delivery like that again. So he lost his wicket pretty early with Azhar Ali still in the partnership. Mohammad Rizwan came along. Mohammad Rizwan actually had a pretty good innings. He had an incredible strike rate. I only really clocked it on when he was about 50, 60 balls in. He was constantly rotating the wicket. He was more than happy to leave the balls, but he still finished with an 85 strike rate, which for his 61, with limited risk, it was a pretty good innings. Just, I know he got caught out early. He seemed gutted as well. He got nicked out to Jameson, if I'm not wrong, but his 61 was really, really smart. He completely capitalised on anything that was off from any of the bowlers. When Jameson went slightly short and flat, he'd be more than happy to pull. He looked really, really technically sound, and he's proven that. I think this is his 7th half century in a row outside Pakistan. So it's really testament to the level that Mohammad Rizwan is going through. And to do all of this whilst him being a captain, this is his third 50 anyway in this tour, in 3 games, and he scored an 80 in the T20 series. So I know he'd been captain in the test series, and to score all those 50s, make decent bowling changes and bowling loads in the first test, well, we haven't seen it in the second test, but in the first test, and, you know, all of this being captain, covering Babar Azam, who's newly appointed as well, but, you know, being a test captain is extremely hard. It really shows testament to what he is as a captain. He's more than happy to soak up any pressure, and it doesn't look like it's got to him yet. So 61 of 71, pretty good innings from Mohammad Rizwan, but it was just a shame that he got out early. It was unfortunate the way he got out, but it was a really good contributing innings. There were about 200 at that point, and at that point we had 2 batsmen left, Zafar Gordon and Fahim Ashraf, both all-rounders. Fahim Ashraf again looking really good, didn't take any risks, and Yunus Khan emphasised the fact that they're trying to make him into a genuine bowling all-rounder, and they've definitely proved that. He's performed with both ball and bat in the T20 series and the test. I haven't actually seen a bad spell or innings from him with both bat and ball since he's come into the T20 side and test side. So he got his 48 off 88. Again, sad the way he got out. I think it was a nick as well. He got lucky in the very start of his innings where he pushed at it and the ball was either dropped, or I think Ross Taylor dropped it to Matt Henry's ball, and then later on he got out to the same way. The ball went right across him, pushed at it, and just lost his wicket. But for 48, alongside his 91 in the first innings, he's going at a pretty good rate right now, and overall it was a decent contribution to his side with that 41. And Pakistan were looking in an okay position, not ideal, But I could say okay in terms of the fact we were about 240, 250 at that point. And Pakistan were, you know, with that kind of pitch, with the conditions they're in, and New Zealand taking full advantage of it at home, I would have said that 300 is a decent score to be getting. And I think Pakistan would have more than happily tried to attack the same way New Zealand did with the scraps that they have left over. And Zafar Gaur coming in, test debut. He had a pretty good innings, if you're being honest. He was rotating strike, didn't look to attack too often. He got 6 fours off his 34, which is 24 was run at a 54 strike rate. So it was by no means he was completely going for it, but he did play any shots that were needed to be played. He had a pretty nice pull shot that he played as well. So 34-62. At that point, I didn't have really too much I didn't have too much faith in Shaheen Abbas and Nasim. They're very much bowlers, as much as Shaheen is trying to be a good batsman as well with his sixes that we've seen him launch a few times. I think he's reserving that for the T20s. So Shaheen Abbas and Nasim sort of fell from that point. Nasim actually scored 12 runs before losing his wicket, nicked to the second slip, if I'm not wrong, to Trent Bolt's delivery. And Pakistan were 297. They had that rain delay during the day, and the umpires decided to call it a day. The bad light. There were 83 overs in, so there was barely any time to play anyway. So New Zealand, I would have actually, if Pakistan, I was kind of hoping, as much as there was a small chance, that Pakistan would have had a chance to bowl about if they were bowling 90 overs, 6.1 overs or 6 overs to bowl, I would have been very happy with that, because with the conditions I were in, I reckon Shaheen, more so over Abbas, would have come with some sort of breakthrough, and we could potentially go one or two wickets down going into the first, going into New Zealand's first innings, which would have put Pakistan in a really good place. But it didn't happen. I'm not too annoyed with that. Pakistan finished all out 297, a decent score. It was a shame in Shan Masood and Fawad Alam's wickets. Well, I'd say Fawad Alam's wicket was most unfortunate. Masood and Harris Sahil, it was poor batting, to be honest. I think Masood had his technical difficulty put around on Twitter, and Harris Sahil was just, it was just a stupid way to get out, if being honest. He's done it again and again and again, and, you know, his questions are going to be asked at some point, you know, does he have a technical issue, and how much is this going to happen before we end up putting the likes of Imran Butt in the next test series. So from that sense, it wasn't too bad innings. You know, Rizwan stood up, Fahim stood up, Zafar did pretty well on debut, Azhar stood up, Abid did okay. And 297 isn't too bad given the circumstances, and with Babar Azam not there, with the conditions favouring New Zealand are at home, we did a pretty good job in a seam friendly condition. Going into the next day, however, you know, New Zealand are going to bat from the get go. I would be really looking towards Nasim Shah and Shaheen Afridi more so over Fahim Ashraf and Mohammed Abbas. Fahim Ashraf very much in the middle overs, with being able to nip the ball in and out. But Shaheen and Nasim, I know Abbas will open anyway, but I look to those two who like to use a swing and the bounce and the pace to really attack and strike when they're available. Nasim will be first change, and Shaheen will be opening the bowling. So hopefully we can get a few early wickets and do the same thing that New Zealand did to us. And that will be sort of best case scenario. I reckon if I'm having to predict, I'd say New Zealand will score about 330, anywhere between 330, 370 if they're having a good day. If Pakistan managed to strike early in the first two wickets, I reckon they'll still make about 300 or 280 to 300. So it will be tight. But I do have full faith in Pakistan to kind of pull this out of the bag and get the W from this. So that was my take on day one of Pakistan-New Zealand's second test. New Zealand are 1-0 up. Pakistan need to look to draw this series and finish it off before going to South Africa. Tell me what you thought of it and let me know your thoughts. This is only going to be available on, well, looking at the length of this, is 24 minutes. So this is only going to be available on, what's this going to be available? This is going to be available on Instagram and audio platform. So if you listen to this on Instagram, please go and give us a follow on Spotify, Google Podcasts, and iTunes. It's Cricket Talks for all the names. If you listen to this on audio platforms, go and follow the page Cricket Talks Pod, where I update you guys, post a little banter here and there, and keep you guys updated with the podcast and everything around it. So that was day one. I've been Mo Blogs. I think I called myself, I will stick that to YouTube. I'm in Mo Blogs, Muhammad Ali, Mo, however you want to call it. Follow me on my channel, subscribe if you haven't already to my YouTube channel. I just dropped episode 6 yesterday. The visuals are available there, and episode 6 audio is available right here where you're listening on audio platform. So give it a listen, let me know your thoughts, and I'll see you guys on the next episode of Cricket Talks Extra.